We're going to continue this story that we started at the beginning of our service in Luke chapter 24. So if you've got your Bibles, you'd like to open them again. We're going to carry on from verse 25 this morning. As Jesus begins to interact with these two on their road to Emmaus. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. And so in our series, we're going to be looking at these incidents when Jesus appeared to various different people before his time of ascension back into heaven. So it's a week after Easter. I hope you've had a fantastic week. I was struggling to remember what I did last Monday, and I meant to ask Kerry, "What did we do last Monday, Kerry? Can you remember?" You can't remember either. Now, I spoke to a couple of other people, actually, and they said, "I can't remember what I've done this week, but it's been a good week. It's been a good week." So I hope you've had a good week. Anyone got any Easter eggs left? Yeah, so have we. Yeah, we had so many. We've still, yes. Yeah, Easter eggs. Anybody eaten all their Easter eggs? Yeah, well done to you. That's how it should be, of course. That's how it should be. I hope you're well. Hot cross bun sales are falling now, aren't they? Yeah, they're diminishing as well, although I did have one for breakfast this morning. I think that was our last, so that's the end of that as well. Holidays, I'm afraid, are just about over. If you've got kids or grandkids and you've got to get back into the routine now of after the holidays or looking after the young kids as well. But the great news is that God isn't back to normal, is he? God isn't back to just routine, that God has something still to do in this post-resurrection period for us. In fact, he's always doing things, isn't he? And we can get caught up in what God is doing. That's the exciting post-Easter experience, I think, for me as well. When he begins to sort of stretch the norms for us, as we begin to look to him and want more from him, as he puts our attention onto all that Jesus did with his death and resurrection as well. And I'd hate that we get far away from Easter and we forget what he has done, that the cross is empty, the tomb is empty, that Jesus is alive as well. And so as we've moved through this Easter, what difference has it made to us? What impact does the Easter story continue to have in our day-to-day lives? Or is it we've put that back on the shelf now and we'll move on from there? Now, of course, the Jewish festival of weeks, what we know as Pentecost, happens in 50 days after Passover. And of course, we know that as Pentecost, and we'll be celebrating that in a bit less than 50 days now. There is talk of resurrection that is going around the followers, but some of them are just not sure what to believe anymore. Last Sunday, we looked at the passage where, of course, Mary went to the tomb and they found it empty, and they went inside and they found it was empty. And then the angel told them to go quickly back to Jerusalem, and then they met Jesus in that moment as well. And they did go back and they did tell the story to everybody else that they'd seen Jesus. And yet, here's these two, I have to say they're men. You have to note that, don't you, that these are men who are walking away from Jerusalem despite hearing the news that Jesus was alive. They still couldn't quite grab hold of it. They couldn't quite believe it or embed it in the rest of their story. And so they end up walking away. Was it the fact that resurrection was impossible for them? Did they not think it was possible? Perhaps sometimes we get confused about resurrection. Is resurrection possible? Is it something I can believe in as a fact? I don't know about your garden, but my garden's beginning to come to life again. Have you noticed your garden coming to life? You know, resurrection happens all around us, doesn't it? You know, what is dead and buried in the ground during the winter suddenly burst back to life again. You know, many of you know our son and the family live in Finland, and Finland, of course, has lots of snow, but we spoke to him yesterday, and he showed us outside, and actually the snow is almost all gone now. Almost. But all that is on the, everything looks brown now. All the grass is brown. It's been under feet of snow for such a long time, since November last year. But you know what? We'll speak to him next week, and it'll all be green. Because there's resurrection power, there's hope in the whole of creation, of nature, is embedded in our story. The Jewish story of Exodus gives us hope of resurrection, doesn't it? From being in captivity, suddenly they're set free into the promised land. You know, this is part of God's story, that there's life, there's freedom, there's hope to come. We know that from great stories from the Old Testament. I mean, Noah, you know, when everything was looking doom and gloom, he was delivered from the flood. Jonah, when he was in the belly of that big fish for 3 days and three nights, suddenly he was vomited out onto the seashore again. It was like he was reborn in that moment because God hadn't finished with him. It wasn't the end of the story. And the cross isn't the end of our story. It leads to resurrection. And if that is true, then it's true now, today. That there's another part of our story, no matter how it feels right now. And here in this in-between time, these two men are walking to Emmaus, away from Jerusalem. It's as if they have given up hope. I mean, they were talking about everything that had happened. Of course, they were talking about it, but it hadn't actually impacted their lives. They were just walking away. And yet, these in-between times can become great moments of opportunity for God to do something new and for us to experience God in a new way. And that's exactly what happened on that road to Emmaus that time. And we can walk with them because we know what it feels to live in an in-between time, don't we? I can remember as a sort of 18-year-old waiting for my exam results. Do you remember waiting for exam results? You know, you've done everything you possibly can in those 2 hours that you had to answer all the questions from 2 years of study, and it was all hinging on that. And then in my day, the postman came with a little letter, and you put it through your letterbox, and you had to be the first to get there and open it up. And then, well, were you excited or disappointed when you opened it up? I was sort of in the middle ground for me, I have to say. But it was okay. It didn't stop too much. Or maybe you're waiting for health results. You know, you've had some health tests. And you're waiting for the answers to those tests. And you're feeling in this in-between time. You know, you're not quite sure what's going to happen next. Or maybe if it's a job interview. You know, you've gone and you've done your very best, and yet you're in this in-between time and you're waiting for the answer to that. Or you're waiting to sell your house, you know, and you've had an offer and you're just waiting to see if everything's going to go through, and you're living in this sort of in-between time. And you know those feelings, don't you? That sort of tension of anxiety and hope and despair and what if and how can I plan for the next step without knowing this? And if it's all a bit in turmoil, and I think these two felt exactly the same. But what they began to realize as Jesus came and walked with them, that was resurrection is actually a lived experience. It's something that makes a difference to us. It's alive, it's real, and it's transforming the future that we can have. Now, we left the story last week on a very confident note. Do you remember how we left the story last week? Do you remember? Are you limbering up? I think some of you have been doing it. Yeah, he is not here. Okay. You're getting that now? That's where we left the story last week. He is not here. Ha! See? Yeah, you got that one. Excellent. He is not here. He's risen. Exclamation mark. That's where we left the story last week, on this note of hope for us. But these two left the story in the same place. And yet we find them walking away. And even though the women told them, they started this 7-mile walk away from Jerusalem. Maybe feeling it had all fallen apart. Maybe just feeling all their hope had gone. Maybe the future that they'd set for themselves has now all been damaged and destroyed. So let's walk to Emmaus. Why didn't they just walk to the tomb? Why didn't they just walk back to Galilee, which is what Jesus told the women to tell the followers? Go to Galilee and they'll see. Why didn't they just walk there? What was in their heads that took them in a different direction, away from Jerusalem, away from where everything had happened? Perhaps it just got too much. Perhaps they felt they couldn't risk believing anymore. Perhaps they just felt the story was over and there was no future. Maybe you felt that sometimes. Maybe you've had an experience where it just felt like this is the end. I don't know what the next bit is. Some of you have, you know, you've got a plan of your life on a spreadsheet already, haven't you? You know, and sometimes when that next bit doesn't quite fit in, then what happens next? It changes everything else that's going to follow after it. And so if this didn't fit into their framework, it didn't fit into their plans for the rest of their lives, then I guess they just felt they had no option but just to go and look for a new story to tell, to have a new beginning in life without Jesus. Maybe you've got to the point in your life where you've moved to that point of saying, I just can't believe anymore. I can't even feel that this is true anymore. And maybe you've had a time like that, and maybe you've come back from that, or maybe even now you're beginning to think about that. How can I go on? I don't know if this is true or not. Or maybe something has happened that is so difficult and so deep that it's really, you're really struggling to put faith into that story. Or perhaps you don't want to bring faith into the story because you know the answer, and maybe you're struggling with God's answer to the issue that you're facing. Yet here's what intrigues me about these two men. No matter that they had turned their back on Jerusalem, Luke tells us in the story that it was all they could talk about. That was the only thing they were talking about on their journey, was what had happened in Jerusalem. Yet all hope wasn't lost for them. They were just trying to make sense of it. They couldn't stop talking about it. They talked about everything that had happened. That's the great thing with walking, isn't it? When you walk with someone, you begin to have this conversation. The two of them are beginning to just tease it all apart a bit, all the difficult things that are there. And it's at that moment, in verse 15, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. This must be a most beautiful moment, mustn't it? Jesus himself came and walked along with them. To walk with those who are walking away. I love that about Jesus, that he'll walk with people who are walking away. It sort of reminds me a bit about, you know, this parable of the lost sheep, doesn't it? I'm the good shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one who is not in the flock that day. And here's Jesus just showing us again how gentle he is with those who are walking away. Here's the two, despair. Their faces are downcast. They retold the story from their perspective. They revealed their reasons for the journey. They were disappointed. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped it, and yet it seems like all that hope has gone. Disappointment, despair, and doubt. And what is more, it is the third day since it all took place. Where is he? Where is he? Well, he's right next to you. and you can't quite see him yet. And into that story comes Jesus. Into our doubt and our disappointment and our despair comes Jesus, right in close to us. And although their vision is blurred and they're kept from recognizing him, he keeps next to them. He keeps listening. He keeps waiting for the moment to step in and help. I wonder what pace they were walking at. Are you a fast walker? Are you someone who wants to get to the destination? I'm a bit like that, I have to say. My apologies. But yeah, if I'm going on a walk, I need to get to the destination. But I'm learning that it's not about the destination, is it? It's about the journey, isn't it? Is that what they say? And I wonder what pace they were walking. Because I think before Jesus came, I'd like to speculate that they were just concerned about getting to Emmaus before it was dark. And so I'd like to think that they were walking quite fast before Jesus came. Do you walk fast? Do you live fast? Do you eat fast? Do you drive fast? You don't point to the person next to you just yet. You can tell them afterwards about that. But you know what it's like to live fast? You know, when you're a bit anxious, you know, the pace of life just gets a bit more. You know, and everything happens very quickly. I can't imagine Jesus walking fast, can you? I can't imagine that he would be rushing anywhere. And I imagine that maybe he picked up their pace, but very gradually he slowed them down. Who sets the pace when you go walking with somebody? I think Jesus just slowed them down a bit, just gradually, just enough for them to slow their breathing down and begin to wrestle with these tough feelings that they had. And it's in that slowing, I think, that Jesus helps them find the space to think again about all that has happened. And so in the despair and in the disappointments and in the doubts, Jesus just helps us to walk a little bit slower until we realize that it's him who's there still right next to us. See, I think when we start living too fast, I think we then begin to live without God's boundaries in our lives. We begin to make bad decisions and bad choices, and we can easily step over the line, really, in terms of how he wants us to live. I think when we're living fast, we stop listening to God's word. We almost find that there isn't enough time to read the Bible, or we read it so quickly we don't allow the Spirit time to help it to embed in our lives. I think when we live too fast, I think we almost keep God out of the plans that he has for us. We keep him to one side and we're going in this direction. This is my plan for my life and this is all that matters. But when we start to walk at the pace of Jesus, I think it's then that we discover the peace of Jesus. The peace that means I can live a life that pleases him in every way. Which means that I listen to God's word and I allow it to impact my life. That means I stop ignoring God's plans for my life. And I embrace him into the center of mine. And I think those two on that road to Emmaus, they started listening more to Jesus than they did to their own story, their own feelings. And gradually and slowly, they slowed down enough for what Jesus was saying to become the new reality for them. Jesus says to them, "This is what the scripture says. Let me point this out to you. Let me show you what had to happen to the Messiah. Let me read you the prophets. Let me remind you. Just slow down enough to remember this story." And I think the peace of Jesus just begins to come upon them as they begin to go at his pace. And eventually they come to a stop. And there's such a beautiful moment in the story, isn't there, that Jesus made as if to go on. Isn't that a lovely thing? He didn't force himself on them. He never forces himself on anyone. He waits for an invitation to be invited. And they said, why don't you just stay with us? And he went in and stayed with them. It's just an invitation away. And he'll do exactly that. And I wonder if when they were around the table, as Jesus took the bread and broke it, I wonder as he passed it to them whether they noticed the nail prints on his hand in that moment. I wonder if it was that that caused them to say, wow, this is Jesus. I wonder if that was it. But as they sat there, their eyes were opened. And suddenly, this in-between moment finds a fresh destination. It finds a ready response. It finds the answer that this in-between space is still filled with Jesus. And they breathe again, and life has come to them again. And Jesus didn't say anything else. He disappeared from their sight. And yet they did a U-turn. As soon as it was safe to do so, they did a U-turn and decided to go back to Jerusalem. It was dark. They'd stopped for the night, you know, but nothing would stop them now. Nothing stopped them from going back to the place that Jesus invited them to be at in the first place. And they went back those 7 miles. And when they got back, what was it they declared? It is true! Exclamation mark. The Lord has risen! Exclamation mark. And the others sat in that room must have said, well, well done. Finally, you've got it. Finally, well done, well done. Well, they had to make the decision themselves, didn't they? And they joined with the rest of them who were waiting for the next part of their story. Yeah, when you discover the truth about Jesus, you can't wait to declare the transforming power of Jesus to others. When you know that he is risen, that he is alive, the mouths are set free to announce this good news. They went back and they announced it. I bet they couldn't wait while they were walking those 7 miles to get back and tell someone that they'd seen Jesus. And so their heavy hearts that they left with turned to burning hearts. Didn't our hearts burn when he spoke to us? Their dragging feet suddenly turned into ready feet to get back to where Jesus invited them to be. And their silent mouths suddenly turned to open mouths to declare Jesus is alive. New courage to believe again. Life is stronger than death. Love overwhelms hate. Peace will defeat war. And that light always overwhelms the darkness. It is true. He has risen. You know, when we look at the world today, and perhaps it may be just in your world, in your close world, perhaps, sometimes it's hard to discern the divine going on, isn't it? It's sometimes so hard to see Jesus in the world that we walk through every single day. It can be tough to see it sometimes, even in our own families, perhaps, or in our workplaces, in our communities. But here's the truth. He is with you. He is with you. And he waits for you to recognize him again. He will walk with you in whatever direction you're walking at the moment. But when you invite him, he will come and eat with you. He will stay with you. Discover the truth about Jesus and let's declare it. Let's declare his transforming power. Walk at the pace of Jesus and experience his peace. And let's be confident that he is risen just as he said he would. And every step of the way, we can know his living presence and power at work. Whatever's going on in your life, wherever you're walking right now, You may be as close to Jesus as you've ever been, and celebrate it and know it and acknowledge it and let it impact your life. Or you may be walking completely in the opposite direction. But today, recognize him and respond to his presence. And let him stay. Invite him in, because he wants to light a fire in your heart today, so that your heart would burn with certainty that he is with you. Let's pray together. The musicians will come back up and help us as we just think through this story and put it back into our own lives today. What does God's word have to say to you today? What is the Spirit drawing attention to for you today? What is it you need to know again today? To be reminded of, to be confident of today? Let's allow his Spirit to whisper. Let's allow the presence of Jesus to make himself known to us. And invite him in. Invite him to stay. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. Come in power to those who are doubting today. To those who are living with despair. Or those facing disappointment. Come, Holy Spirit, to those who are finding joy today. Who know your presence and power at work in their lives. Who know your forgiveness and freedom. Make yourself known again today. Thank you for the promise that you walk with us. Help us to keep in step with you, I pray. Come, Holy Spirit.